Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino getting you set up to hear the recording of our first ever Survivor Know-It-Alls recorded outside of the United States here from the Sheridan Center here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Great show for you guys that you're about to check out here on this podcast. Before we get into that recording, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this podcast, and those are our friends over at Pro Flowers. We had our loved ones visit and lots of love for the survivors, for their moms. Andrea came out. We got to see Sari with her son, how important that bond is. Even if you can't talk to your mom about anything, even if your mom missed your high school graduation, you still want to take care of your mom this Sunday on Mother's Day. And the great way to do that is with Pro Flowers. They've got a great offer going on right now. 100 blooms for mom, not Mike Bloom, with a free glass vase for $19.99 plus shipping and handling. If you want to make more of a statement, you can upgrade to a premium vase, including gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. Your siblings are going to look so bad compared to what you're doing for mom this Sunday. Just choose the delivery date you want, and Pro Flowers are guaranteed to arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days or your money back. Moms love fresh flowers, and Pro Flowers makes it so easy to send mom the perfect Mother's Day bouquet. So don't forget any of the moms in your life, mom, grandma, and of course, your wife. I've made this mistake, and I said, yeah, well, she's not my mom. No, is once you have kids, trust me, your wife will be mad if you don't take care of her on Mother's Day. So don't forget, the only way to get 100 blooms for mom with a free glass vase starting at $19.99 is to visit proflowers.com. Just click on the microphone at the top right corner and use the promo code REALITYTV. That's two words, REALITYTV, in the upper right hand corner. That's proflowers.com, and use the code REALITYTV. When you click on the microphone, this stunning bouquet sells out fast, so order today.
Let's go, Toronto!
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Steven and Rob, without a doubt, got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Ooh,
Survivor Know It All.
Yes, yes, that's right. Wow.
Great job.
How about that?
Wow.
Brett LaBelle and John Palin on guitar.
Woo! That was fantastic.
Steven.
This is such a nice setup. Yeah. Wow. Whoa.
I like that they did the acoustic remix to really stretch it out. Really, Brett wanted to milk you the singing time. No,
that's more
better,
emotional, right?
Better.
Yeah, like we said about We've Never Won.
Remember all the words this time. Great job.
I had too many surveys last time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, first up, let's just say, what's going on, Toronto?
Here.
You can slide in. You can slide over. This
you
move.
Can slide too.
Yeah. Come on, get in.
The
here.
Chairs work.
Get
both
in
ways.
Here.
Yeah, okay.
If I was JT, you'd be right. You'd be right here. All right. We're so excited to be up here in Canada. First ever Know-It-Alls outside the United States. How are you doing tonight, Steven?
I'm great. I'm great. It's great to be here with all of you and with you, Rob. I love you.
Steven.
You're my it guy up here on a real level.
Good, because I was worried this was going to be just a me podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that we're going to turn it around.
Yeah.
It'll be a we podcast. A we podcast with all of you. So very exciting stuff. to go through here tonight. Usually we're someplace where we have no cell phone reception, but we're going to be able to maybe take some questions from you guys, both in person, and then we'll be checking Twitter also. So use that RHAP hashtag as well for that. And then, of course...
If it gets boring, you're going to start like checking Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, for you guys listening to the audio version, full slate of podcasts tomorrow. We've got our exit interview. The Sheriff! Sierra Dawn Thomas. The sheriff is down. She went out guns blazing, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, who shot the sheriff? Yeah. It was the deputy.
It was
Officer Sarah. Oh my God. Friendly fire.
Yeah.
And then Adam Klein is going to join me for the recap as well on Thursday. So busy Survivor podcast day coming up. But Stephen, we have to start with your friend Sarah Lucina.
Yes.
Does she get a fishy today?
We'll have to see. Well, of course. I mean, what an epic episode for Sarah. It was such, like, until this point, I really feel like Sarah's been playing this game where she's been doing fine. She's been playing a really good, solid game, right? Like, she had a move where she flipped alliances, and it was a big move, and, like, we didn't know if it was going to be a good move or not. It turned out okay for her. You know, last week we saw her, she went along with the vote, and, you know, smart was the right decision. But I feel like this was the signature move. You know, she was able to both... you know, use her relationships to get information and then like use that information against her own allies to vote them out. And it was such a big move. It was so devious. Like really like, who says I love you and then vote someone out? It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's kick it over that. Also, like my favorite moment of the episode was Sarah's face at Tribal Council as Sierra is walking out. We're like, Sarah's like, what happened? Like, that was amazing.
She's really good. I mean... A couple of things came together tonight. Where we've been waiting for two seasons for the Legacy Advantage to do something. Mm-hmm. And this was a night, finally, where the promise of the Legacy Advantage was fulfilled in my mind. Because I have been saying that going back to last season, Jessica had the Legacy Advantage. And then she told Ken, just so you know, I trust you and I had the Legacy Advantage. And he said... apparently, this is a good thing. So I'll never vote against you. So because she's like, I'll give it to you if I get voted out. Okay, apparently that's still cool. And so finally, it was like, yeah, if you tell somebody you're going to give them the Legacy Advantage, the logical thing is to vote them out of the game.
Yeah.
So that you get that Legacy Advantage.
It's really, really rare that you get to see the exact moment when someone's game implodes. And we did that tonight with Sierra. Like, you see that thing she says, which is so crazy. I know we'll get to that a little bit later. But yeah, the Legacy Advantage, like, this was why the Legacy Advantage is in the game. Having, you know, having someone turn on their ally to get the Legacy Advantage and keep their ally trust, like, this was the perfect moment and play for the Legacy Advantage. Now we never have to see it again.
Hey, look, I don't want to pile on the sheriff too much here, but I feel like that she had a good instinct to say, hey, right. I have this advantage. Let's work together. Don't vote me out. Bad to say, and then if I get voted out, you get it.
Yeah, it's funny because like she pauses right before she says it. You know, she says it perfectly, right? She says, you know, it's like an immunity idol. And Sarah's like, oh, tell me more, an immunity idol that we can play the final six. And then she, like, Sierra hesitates, and you can, like, see the thought running through her head. And then she just blurts it out. And, you know, she's had this advantage all game long. She's been wondering who she can share this information with. And then she just shares, like, a little bit too much. And it's, you know, I mean, who hasn't, tired and hungry, like, said the wrong thing at the wrong time?
Yeah, it's just such a bad thing to say that you'll give it away. And I've been confused about the Legacy Advantage in terms, for a lot of reasons, but in terms of that, I don't know why Jeff at the start of the season doesn't say it's out there, somebody has it, and it's a good reason to go for people, because she never has to volunteer that information that I give it away. Like when Sarah was talking with Michaela, she talked about how, hey, Sierra has this advantage, we have to get rid of her. She leaves out the part that she can gift it to somebody after she's out of the game. So as far as anybody else is concerned, there's no, okay, we put out the fire with the Legacy Advantage, now it's gone. Michaela could ask, hey, why do they call it a Legacy Advantage? That's a weird name for it, right? Yeah. If it's just like an idol, why do they call it that? Like, I don't know. That's weird. But It'll be, you know, I feel like that's the thing. If people don't know that you can pass it on, like, you didn't have to say anything with that.
Right. I mean, the only downside to Jeff, like, saying something at the start of the season is that then everyone's going to just be going through each other's bags, you know, all game long. It's like, she walked away from camp. Let's go through her bag because someone's got the legacy advantage.
Yeah. That doesn't already happen?
Well, I don't know. But with like, especially, I guess that does happen. But, like, at merges or swaps, like, people will be going through each other's stuff when there isn't an opportunity to hide it, you know, in a way where, like, with idols, like, you don't really know when that person has an idol.
Now, I love the move that Sarah made. I was so happy that somebody finally did this. And I've been higher on Sarah than you have the last couple
what?
Of weeks.
No, you always yes. you always put these words in my mouth. No, no, that is 100%
have I been higher on
true.
Sarah?
No, oh, no, no.
Who got called out on
fake
Twitter
news,
recently?
Fake news. Fake that news. Is absolutely not the case. 2 weeks ago, I thought the vote was, Sarah's decision was much better than you thought it was. Mm. Yeah, you are totally revising history. You're just using your, you know, your influence to throw me under the bus.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, okay? So we all love the move for TV. It was great stuff. But this is the kind of thing that when people talk at Ponderosa,
yes.
Sierra Dawn Thomas will very quickly find out that Sarah was one of the... Whoever comes out next is going to say, oh, yeah, Sarah voted for you.
Right. Well, yeah, that's right.
So is this the kind of thing is now we all like, okay, Sarah has been playing like she's not the cop. She's the criminal this time around. Is she potentially, like, this is a move that a Russell Hance would make. This is a move that a Boston Rob in the All-Stars would have made. Is Sarah playing an unwinnable game in your mind?
Well, so actually the person who I was thinking most compared to was Dawn Meehan, right, who she had these really close relationships with people. She used those relationships to get information about who people were voting for, and then she would use that information against those same people. So, you know, I feel like even, like, Russell and Boston Rob didn't trade on their, like, deep personal connections with people in that way, in a way that makes people really feel deceived and hurt.
But something that all three of those people have in common is that they were all losing finalists.
Right.
So do you
which
you
is a
feel
prestigious
like,
position to be in.
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course. But do you are you looking at Sarah as somebody who you feel like is like has an inside track to win, or do you feel like that you're looking at her as somebody who is going on to go in front of a potentially angry jury?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a, you know, it's such a personal thing. Like, there's almost no way to gauge it now, right? Is someone going to be like, wow, you outplayed me? Or is someone going to be super hurt, like, you betrayed me?
I mean,
you know?
Look at that jury right now. How many people did Sarah flip against on that jury?
Right.
Ozzy, check.
Yeah.
Debbie, check.
Yeah.
Zeke, check. Sierra, check.
But she also is developing these relationships. So, like, you know, it's just that question of, like, how salty are they going to be? Like, I could easily see Zeke voting for Sarah to win. I could see Sierra voting for Sarah to win. Like, you played me, you know? I mean, Sierra has been, like, a really, really good gamer, you know, this whole season long. I thought she played a great game. We saw very little
of
it.
She did hold court from the Hammock of Doom once again, Stephen. Hammock curse is a thing.
Yeah.
Sierra does not get out of that hammock.
It's very uncomfortable on Survivor. You know, there's nowhere good to sit down. You know,
actually, when somebody has a meeting with her, she gets, oh, hold on, let me just get up for a second.
You know, it's hard. It's hard. Hammocks especially are hard to get out of.
She's good.
But, you know, out of the gate, she had this majority alliance. She kept it together. She didn't do any, like, crazy moves, like voting against her own alliance. You know, she almost kept Sarah in the fold when Sarah was going to flip. You know, she said to Sarah, I want you to be in the final three. Then, you know, she loses her majority alliance because you know, Sarah gets pissed, basically, about feeling left out. And then Debbie says that thing. Then Sierra immediately kind of scrambles to get back. Today, she would have pulled it off. You know, if she had not said that one sentence, it seems like Sierra would still be there, right? Like, it seems like the vote would have flipped back to Andrea. Probably Sarah would have been, you know, arguing on her behalf too here. Like, you know, I got to keep Sierra in this game. She's got this, you know, crazy legacy thing. I don't know really what it does, but, you know, I know that she's going to use it for me. If she just hadn't said that one simple sentence, like, she would be there still.
Right. Now, Stephen, we move one step closer now to Advantage Geddon coming up this season.
Yeah.
Here we are going into next week's episode, the final eight.
Yeah.
We have now three idols still in play.
Right.
And now Sarah Lucina has the legacy advantage and a vote steal.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple of weeks left to play it.
Yeah.
Like, this is all happening on one night. Right.
Yeah.
Like, this is all...
Ty's advantage almost is definitely going to be played at the final six, right? At least one of them is, right? Because either he plays it at, like, at 7 and 6, or he plays it at... Ty's not going next week, right? So either he plays it at 7 and 6, or he's playing it at 6 and 5. Sarah's advantage has to be played at 6, and, like, who knows what Troy's end will do. So it's totally possible that it...
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really coming down to it, because now the people that are in the minority, and you know, Brad talked about, you know, the four, even though Ty had already you know, flipped away from them. Ty was one of the votes against Sierra, but now that's like a very small group, but it's, they have a lot of idols, yeah. Potentially,
yeah.
Because Troy still has one, and Ty has two.
Right.
I mean, Brad could win immunity again, conceivably.
Yeah.
And then what?
Yeah, I guess Andrew will finally be voted out, right?
I mean, I guess so. I guess that somebody's so certain. Like, I think that this is really hard to figure out what's going to happen next, because that normally you'd say, okay, well, this will just continue to be a pagonging, but there's a lot of advantages and idols in play.
Right. I think the game is definitely still up for grabs, you know, in terms of, you know, yeah. Almost anyone can win. Like, Troy Zane pretty clearly not winning, but I think almost anyone but Troy Zane can win in here. Just because of his edit. I think he's playing a great game. I love Troy Zed. I bet everyone out there loves him too, but I don't think he's going to win the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you are unapologetically Troy Zan fan number one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one. Yeah. That's all you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. You can. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about Michaela.
Okay.
Because I thought that she was really all over the place tonight.
Oh, I thought she had a great night. You know, just in terms of sort of taking control of her own destiny, you know, building this bond with Ty and positioning her and Ty as the kind of, as this swing vote. You know, their initial plan was like, let's take out Andrea, because then we're really positioned right in the middle of these two alliances. That's a pretty good plan, right? And then being able to situationally say, okay, Sarah has this thing. I want to get it out of the game. Let's switch it.
No. I think Michaela and Ty, to me, is like the worst alliance. It's the alliance of, okay, whoever we're mad at today, we're going to vote against them. And you saw that she swung, not so much, like, I don't even know what their plan is. Like, what are their numbers? It's like, okay, well, we're mad at Andrea today. So now we're voting Andrea out of the game. Oh, no, now we're mad at Sierra.
I think I totally disagree with you. I think that their decision to vote out Andrea, they give you a really, like, very explicit good reason, which is that if we take out Andrea now, then we're more balanced between these two opposing sides. I think no one is coming for Michaela and Ty, right? You've got these two, like, big alliances, like, why shouldn't the people at the bottom of those two groups team up and be like, let's pick off one from here and one from there? I think that's a perfect play.
Yeah, that's what Will Wall thought too, Steven. Yeah. I don't know. That with Michaela, what happened to Suri is my number one? Me and Suri have an unbreakable bond. We're never gonna go against Suri. And everybody's like, yes, okay, this is great. This is they're going to go to the final three. Now, all of a sudden, Michaela's like, I'm going to throw Andrea under the bus. I'm coming for Andrea. Like, that's kind of screws Suri over. Like, what happened? There was no mention of her bond with Suri.
Yeah, but once they vote Andrea out, then they can swing back and vote with Suri.
That's when you feel like it's good.
You don't think, like, you think just because it didn't make air, like, Michaela never even, like, once thought, like, what it might mean for Suri?
No, I don't think. I mean, she's talking about, I'm going to go with Brad and Sierra and Ty and Troyzan. She's trying to make a final five deal with them. She's not saying that, and then I'm going to go back and work with Suri.
Yeah, but that is sort of what she said, right? Like, when she said, like, let's take out Andrea because we're better, that makes us more in the middle. It is kind of like the idea is that then we can, you know, if you're in the middle.
Do you guys feel like that was Michaela's plan to get back with Suri?
Yeah.
I'm hearing some overwhelming no's.
That's absolutely not what you heard.
For the people on the podcast.
You are only, this is like, yeah, you have a big filter. Like, you only hear the things you want to hear.
So she's just like so emotional. And to me, I just like, even her mom had to say, like, Michaela, come on, calm down.
Yeah, moment of like the challenge.
She kicked the box.
I'm sure I kicked some boxes too when I lost things or you know, scored own goals or whatever.
Yeah, slingshot.
So, let's talk about the reward, because I'm already ready to disagree with you about the choice of who they picked.
Okay. No, I actually think that they made the best possible choices.
Okay, fine. All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. So what do you think?
No, I kind of agree with that. I mean, Sarah was...
You're so argumentative for argumentative's sake.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know.
Yeah.
Sarah was definitely the right person to take, right? She's the crucial swing vote.
See,
who everyone wants.
Here's what I thought that they did wrong in terms of, I thought they picked the right people, but I thought they went about it wrong. It looked like, and again, we only see a couple of minutes of it, but it seemed like they didn't consult Brad. And then it seemed like it was, Andrea made the pick and
Aubrey
made the pick. And it seemed like that Brad was sort of left out of it. So there was really no blood on his hands. Now, did Brad have a say in it, or was he outvoted? Like, was Brad, like, really pushing for Troy's? But it'd be great if you could sort of say, like, if you get Brad to say one of the names.
Right.
Then you could sort of like, he would take some of the blame for it.
Yeah.
But it just looked like, they just picked her and they picked her and we're on the bottom of the alliance. But what are you going to do? You're going to take Michaela and then you're going to leave Ceri back there?
That would have been, there's a strong argument to make for that move, right?
Right. But for Ceri, is that going to sit well with her? I sort of am more concerned about, you're going to piss somebody off.
Right.
I'd rather piss off the person who I am the least afraid of.
But Andrea, and we see Andrea and Ceri together all the time, right? Like, I would be less. I do think taking Ceri is probably the right move in here, and I think that, you know, with these rewards and especially the family visit, there's this whole like other like politics that like that grows up around it in terms of, you know, at camp, like who deserves it the most or whatever. Like, this is hashed out endlessly at camp for, you know, 30 days. But, you know, there's an argument to be made for taking the person who you're less close with and leaving the more, you know, the more strategic person back at camp.
There would be an argument for that, possibly, if you were like to work that out ahead of time, but I don't think that Ceri was going to be cool with,
right.
No, I don't need to have the loved ones visit. I'll stay back at camp. You guys enjoy it if we have the opportunity to be, like, Ceri wanted the loved ones visit. So if you're going to piss off somebody, don't piss off one of the greatest Survivor players ever.
But do you think Ceri is going to, like, if she's left back at camp, is Ceri going to be like, screw these guys, like, I'm going against them now?
I don't know. She might. Yeah. I'd rather Michaela was mad at me than Ceri.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. I was hoping to disagree with you, but I do agree with
you. Okay. And then in terms of Sarah, I think that's probably the second most dangerous player that you're going to alienate. So I think that they got the people right. They got the order right.
Yeah.
It just, like, it would have been great. It just made it seem like that Brad had no say in it. Maybe he didn't. But it would have been great if you could have had Brad pick one of those people.
I mean, the way that Andrea was talking about it was almost worse than the thing she actually did. Just to be like, hey, yeah, Michaela, she's fine. We'll give her a day to cool off and then whatever. Like, it showed that she wasn't necessarily taking it as seriously as maybe she should be.
I mean, but that was in confessional. We didn't get to see again whatever happened when they got back the reward challenge in terms of smoothing it over. Did you like how they did it? That this is, I think, the first time that they've divided the group into teams of three. I don't think we've ever done a reward challenge at nine. Or the family visit at nine.
Yeah.
Unless, did we do it at nine for you guys?
Yeah, it was.
At nine, yeah. So I guess that's the new thing. It's early to do it, and they split them up into groups, and then it was a group of three that had to pick.
I kind of liked it, actually, because it was a little bit more random, like who was with whom, right?
Yeah. What I did like was then the picking was like, there was a lot of people that got a loved ones, and there was only a couple people that didn't get loved ones visits.
I think that's what they try to do, right? Have like the majority of people have loved ones, so the people who are left out feel like extra salty about it. Yeah.
Yeah. How pumped are you guys to see Monica Culpepper?
Yes.
The neat lady was back.
Yeah, I was amazed at like the huge cheer that came. I mean, not amazed, but like, you know,
yeah. I know.
Toronto loves Monica Culpepper.
It was a big pop in the room for when Monica Culpepper came on. You guys were really excited for Monica Culpepper. I liked when Monica was like, all right, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, there's,
and Kayla's going to flip.
She's going to flip. I know it. I thought it was a wonderful metaphor. She was flipping burgers as she was talking about Michaela. It was like the Michaela was the burger. She is going to flip.
Yeah.
And Brad was like, I know. When you have a stud Survivor player like Monica Culpepper, that's what Brad said. All right, so Steven, what are you going to say?
I don't know. Go ahead.
Next week, what happens?
Andrea goes home.
Really?
Yeah.
Now
I don't like that. I don't want that to happen.
Yep. Okay, you jinxed her now if she goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, happy birthday to Andrea,
happy birthday,
by the way.
Andrea. Yeah. And this week, Andrea tweeted this, but she's the seventh player ever to make 100 days in the show.
Congratulations to Andrea. But
Short of an immunity win, right? There's no way Andrea's not going home next week.
No, why? I don't see that. Why do you say that? Like, what is the coalition that is voting against Andrea next week?
I think it's
eight. Eight's hard to do a flip.
Everyone but Aubrey, Andrea, and Sari.
Everybody but Aubrey.
Or maybe Michaela still votes with Aubrey, Andrea, and Sari, but the rest of the other group votes Andrea out. I mean, there are two things. One, right, like Andrea has just, her name has come up so much, that means her name is definitely going to come up again. Everyone thinks she's a huge threat. You know, she's won all these immunity challenges, and she's had like a ton of airtime out of nowhere. It's all three things, you know? It's like she's been targeted, she is a threat, and like a dangerous edit. So,
I reject the she's got a lot of airtime out of nowhere. I mean, since the merge, Andrea has been one of the central figures
right.
of the show.
Yeah, since the merge, yeah.
So that's the visibility spike.
Yeah,
that's like since four, the merge.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's a slow burn. Okay, come on. Do you really? Who do you think is going home next week, if not Andrea?
I feel like it's got to be Brad or Troy or somebody from that group. No?
Come on. You don't really think it's going to be Troy?
I mean, I think that group wants to stick together, no?
Yeah, definitely there's going to be a flip next week. You know, whether it's Sarah flipping back or, you know, with Ty or Sarah and Michaela, there's definitely going to be a flip next week, yeah.
Okay, all right, Steven is calling his shot with the flip.
Yeah, I think it's Andrea, right? I don't want it to happen. Yeah, I like Andrea.
You're jinxing.
I'm not jinxing.
Now, again, the other thing with that, and you have to be very careful with the 4-4, is that potentially you could inadvertently launch the rock draw sequence.
Yeah, right. They're going to be super, super cautious about that.
It has not borne any fruit so far this season.
I'll bet it has, like, subtly with just, like, the way people are thinking about the game. But, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think? But do you think when Sarah said, you know, right? Sierra says to Sarah, they've got this legacy advantage. I will, you know, I'll give it to you. Sarah says right after she's got this confessional. That made me want to keep Sierra. Is she lying to herself and to us?
I think that maybe in the moment she was sort of flattered that kind of makes me want to keep her. I mean, she started this episode off that she wanted to vote out Brad.
Yeah.
And I thought that was odd because I had thought that Sarah was tight with Brad. I feel like that in secret scenes we've seen them talk about that they have a bond. I didn't know why Sarah all of a sudden, she was working with Zeke, that she wanted to work with Brad and Troy and bring in Michaela and Zeke and go to the final five with them.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, Brad was out, but Sierra was in.
It seems like Sarah, though, has great relationships with everybody, right? I mean, you know, Sierra has said a couple of times to her how, like, she's her number one friend out there. You know, I mean, I think that she's close with everyone.
She's done a really great job with the social game so far this season.
Oh, go ahead.
Everybody loves Sarah.
Yeah.
Coming to CBS. Yeah.
In these scenes with her, you know, that conversation with Sierra and Sarah is such like a great lesson in how to play like something like that. You know, Sierra is talking and Sarah's answers are so short and monosyllabic. It's like, she's like, okay, yeah, okay, sure. What does that mean? You know, like she does not give away a single thing. She does not like show her hand.
Do you
at
feel
all.
Like that's her tell though?
Her tell is not telling anything?
Her tell is just being like really short. Like when somebody is lying to you, they're sort of just like trying to like end the conversation and be like really brisk with you as a, like agree to whatever you say.
Yeah.
And then, what are you lying about this? And whereas somebody who's really engaged with you is probably telling the truth.
Right. That's I know. Have we seen her? I think even when she's making like real plans, she's still pretty terse and monosyllabic.
We have to go back and check the tape.
Yeah.
We'll do a video edit.
Even with Zeke by the well, I felt like, you know, when she, I mean, granted she did end up turning on Zeke that episode, but you know, when she might not, you know, it was her, she seemed pretty like, you know, more receptive than actually active.
Yeah. All right. You want to bring some people up here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, I want to bring up a pair of survivors that are here with us tonight. Yes? Good? Good? Okay. All right, please welcome. First, you heard his musical stylings to start the show. He came all the way up here. It's so much fun at the Last Note Alls. Please welcome Brett LaBelle. Woo! And then...
What do you want me?
Here, but Steven has two microphones here.
Okay, here.
And then also, we had her cousin at one of the first know-it-alls, but here she is, the genuine article, Shireen Scooey.
Hey, Shireen.
Here you go. So I feel like you guys are like a fun tag team.
Could be.
Shireen, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm drinking water now.
Okay, you're drinking water. From earlier or from when your cousin was here?
From, well...
We went to dinner, Rob. You didn't come.
Yeah, I know. All the survivors had a fun dinner without me.
It was really fun. And probably because
probably,
of that.
Probably, yeah. Okay. All right. So, first, Brett, let me start off by asking your take on Michaela in this episode. Do I have it wrong with Michaela?
No, I mean, listen, Michaela's great. I love her. She's my friend. She's out there. But what you're seeing, like, when she gets very competitive. Like, when she kicked the box at that's how she's going to be at a challenge. She gets into it. If you're not winning, she's going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And, it's not going to float very well with some people, as we see, you know. But I think she's hanging in there. My question is, if she gets to the end, you know, how many people did she piss off along the way? That's what fears me with Michaela.
Yeah.
Can Michaela win?
I believe she can win, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe she can win.
How? Who with who?
Booze? Booze?
What?
Oz, okay.
Not this season.
I think she... this is hard because she's my friend. I don't want to...
Okay. Here, all right, let's get Shireen. Shireen, can Michaela win?
Not on this season.
Not on this season. In a different season with people who liked her, she could win.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a different season, she could win.
Yeah. No, it doesn't seem like that she's made a lot of allies out there this season. I mean, she has Ty now, but...
Hey, look. The season that Terry Dietz could win, Michaela could win. Whatever the fuck season that is.
So, Panama.
When did Terry Dietz win?
He was one challenge away.
Okay.
She needs to...
She was four. She was already out.
Michaela needs... You know, she needs to reel it in. And yeah, my fear is that, you know, you're hearing a lot of people coming off saying a lot of bad things about her on a certain podcast. So I think it's going to be very hard for Michaela.
Are you us?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, just the exit interviews, people are saying the best things. A couple, you know. So I think it's going to be very tough for her to win. I think she can get to the end because, I mean, there's plenty of people that probably want to sit next to her at this point.
Yeah. Now, Shireen, I know that you're a big Ty fan. Is that still true?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what do we think about the other side of that? I mean, I feel like that Ty is similarly in a position where it's like these two are at the bottom, but I feel like that he doesn't have a shot either.
I actually think that he does have a shot this season because unlike Michaela, a lot of people do have a lot of compassion and love for Ty that she's just not getting out of these people. And so you're not seeing people respect him in terms of like giving him a voice and an opinion in terms of the vote and that kind of thing. But this guy is packing two idols. He already played a third one for somebody else. He does phenomenally in challenges. He's sitting on a great resume and people just love him. I know that he cooks a lot at camp. He works a lot at camp. You see a lot of that footage. That's the difference. And you're seeing that even in the edit. Like, you're seeing people be compassionate towards Ty in a way that they're not towards Michaela.
We didn't see Michaela being compassionate towards Ty when she was, like, dragging, him through the challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. How great was Mark the Human?
Yeah.
Mark the Human and Ty.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad, right? Yeah. So, that was exciting. But I just feel like that Ty was so lovable in Koh Rong. I feel like that we don't get that Ty this season.
Ty doesn't have a chicken's chance in hell of winning this season.
But you don't think, like...
Based on the edit, yeah. But I'm saying if he ends up in the final three with, like, Michaela and Troy-Zan, I defy you to tell me that Troy-Zan wins.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
Like,
don't...
You're just wrong. You're just
sound
wrong.
Effects from the audience.
Troy-Zan whips it out of his pants and then wins.
I think
idol, the idol. So
family show.
I think Troy-Zan's making more friends out there than Ty is, but we'll see. We'll have to see.
Ty does play like two idols, right? Then he will have played three idols. That's a pretty impressive.
He's got a great shot of getting there, right?
Yeah. And he slays at the challenges too, and these people care about that.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Ty, that I feel like there didn't seem to be a lot of damage control following that you had Brad and Sierra and Troy-Zan put a vote on him last week. It was like, oh, yeah, Ty's like, you guys voted for me? And they were like, yeah, we did. And then it's like, I guess we can't work with Ty anymore.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that there was sufficient damage control?
No, no, clearly not. I mean, now Ty is a free agent, right?
Yeah. But then, I mean, it seemed like that he was open to going back with them.
Yeah.
So that do you think that Ty is upset about that, Shireen?
I mean, like this is one thing that I struggle with in my friendship with Ty is that I find him to be too magnanimous and forgiving.
Really, terrible traits in a friend. I won't pursue this line of questioning any further. Yeah. Okay. Brett, your fellow officer, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
What have you made of her this season?
Man, I'll tell you, I didn't have a lot of stock in Sarah early on, but man, she is really pulled ahead here. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm finding myself rooting for Sarah. You know?
Yeah.
And Michaela.
Yeah.
Now, do you don't feel competitive with like the other cop on the show?
No, listen, we all support each other. I'm very excited. I think she's
Cops
playing a great
us.
Game. The only thing that I am worried about, and I think you guys touched on this a little bit, at least Steven did, you know, you're right, Sierra is going to find out that she voted for her. So how many, I'm worried about when we get to the end, you know, how many people are going to be frustrated with her. I mean, Zeke too. I mean, you know, Zeke's a little easier because he's a huge fan and a hard player, so he might actually applaud her for it. But, you know, how many people is she really pissing off? That's what I'm worried about.
Now, I wonder with the jury on this particular season where everything has been drilled into these guys of game changers,
right.
Big moves, who made the biggest moves, who changed the game. Could this be a jury that potentially rewards that type of behavior?
Well, to that end, I have a question. In pregame press, and this might have actually been in a Josh interview who is here.
What?
Wiggler!
Jeff Probst, I believe, said that they were going to do something special with this jury to mitigate a bitter jury. And Josh, you know what I'm talking about?
Josh isn't on mic, so we'll ask Josh. Josh is going to come up in a little bit. We'll talk to him about that.
Stand down, Josh. Stand down.
Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely like. You know, I think that returning players, and especially in this era, do feel some obligation to vote for a deserving winner. But it's just a question of what people decide means deserving, and that's like the cool and the fun and the awful thing about Survivor is that every jury gets to decide what it values as important, right? And I mean, yes, you see every one of these players come through the game being like, I got to make big moves. That's what the season is about. It's game changers. We got to make big moves. And to a certain degree, I think that has been drilled into them. I mean, I've said this before, but in Second Chances, you know, a big criterion for the jury was like who's made the most of their second chance, you know? And so I think there's definitely going to be the question of like who changed the game.
Yeah. Shireen, did you see any change in Sierra Dawn Thomas from the Sierra that you played with in Worlds Apart, or was it the edit that was different this time around?
I mean, certainly it felt like she was trying to be more aggressive at times, but the difference is like I think what you didn't see in the edit of Worlds Apart was that there were times when she was similarly seemingly aggressive and seemingly playing, mm-hmm. but she never had any intention to flip. She never had any intention to make those moves that she was selling. And I think we did see a lot of that this time around where she was like talking to people that she never really had any intention of working with or like, you know, keeping promises with. Like she doesn't like Michaela. You can see, like, she says that directly. You can hear it in her voice. You can see it in the way that she looks and speaks to Michaela. And then she just, like, wants to use her because she happens to be on the bottom, but then, like, throw her away the next round as soon as she can. Like, I don't think that she's reading the game properly. I think that she just wants to stick to Brad and Troy blindly the way that she did in Worlds Apart with the other, like, athletic, you know, aggressive mm-hmm. men. And I'd see a lot of the same Sierra. I think there is a little bit more of like a sinister aspect to her.
Sinister Sierra.
Like a more aggressive, a bit of a mean girl. There's definitely more whining. She did not whine that much in Worlds Apart. She is whining so much about how hard it is. Oh my God. Jesus.
I'll give the sheriff some credit because that we.
It's so hard to own horses.
Yes, it is. Look, let alone 30 of them. 30 horses. 30 horses. It's hard. It's harder than kids.
A lot of horses.
But I will say that, you know, I did not give her a lot of credit coming into the season. Was not excited to see her back. She did something.
Yeah.
She was that. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, she definitely she used Ty's idol. She totally did that.
No, wait. But did you not think, though, you didn't think she... So you're saying when she was in the water with Michaela, you found that to be super phony and bad? I felt
it was phony. And I think she genuinely wanted Michaela's vote, but right. I think that the phoniness was in that it was like... It was very one-sided, and I think it was... It wasn't... I think Survivor, like you... When you have a conversation like that, even if it's just in that moment, it needs to be two ways. Do you know what I'm trying to say here? And I feel like in Sierra's mind, she was like, "Let me just get like Michaela's vote and like get it, like you know, get it over.
Get back
with.
In the hammock, right?
Yeah,
back in the saddle.
Yeah,
back in the saddle. No, okay. I thought it was a pretty good line, but woo, Toronto! I'm going to win them over.
Yeah. That's why you guys are a great counterbalance for each other. It's the yin and yang.
Sorry. I need more alcohol.
Okay. Yes. Yes, you do.
How about Ceree?
I mean, who doesn't love Ceree?
Everybody loves Ceree.
She makes beautiful children, too.
Ceree's son was hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, people are already clamoring for Jared to come back. Steven, are we potentially, though, we all love Ceree.
Right.
Are we overrating what she's up to?
No. Okay. No.
Just oh checking. God,
Rob thinks Ceree is overrated. You heard it here first.
No.
Silent assassin.
Yeah.
She's good.
No, if anything, I think Ceree is not getting enough credit. You know, we're seeing a lot of decisions, you know, like last week, for example, you know, you had... So much of like Sarah's decision whether or not to vote with the group or not, but Ceree, who's like in everybody's ear and is running all over the beach and making sure everyone is happy, we got actually very little relatively of her. So I actually think we're not seeing enough of everything Ceree is doing.
Yeah, I think that the one area where we really see that is that her name doesn't come up.
Right.
Would think that she'd be such a big target, and you know she's in so good with everybody that people aren't considering her when they really should be.
Well, you know, I was listening to your podcast with Nick Iadanza, Nick Sesterninoz, and he... He had a great observation that being able to appear calm on Survivor is like an inestimable skill. And like, it's actually really, really hard. I always thought I was trying to appear calm, but it never worked.
Yeah.
So the fact that she can, she has this like calm demeanor, that's freaking hard.
Yeah. She does a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Ceree was picked first as the guest loved one speaks volumes in terms of
right.
like what she's doing out there. And we're, for whatever reason, not seeing... There's a lot of yas.
Yeah, but I think...
I just totally agree with what Steven's saying on this front. I don't think we're seeing enough of what Ceree is doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just being regular.
But I think she might be in trouble coming up. That's all.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I think that's what the edit is speaking
because
towards.
Because I think
sure.
we're getting down the numbers, and you know, I think
nobody wants to sit with her at the end of the game.
I don't think so. She's going to win that.
Yeah.
Know? So can Ceree win? Can Ceree win?
Absolutely.
No, but can she get to the end? Like, can she make it to the end?
I think it's going to be really tough for her to get to the end because I don't think there's a soul out there right now that wants to take her to the end.
Yeah. See, we can't hear you guys. We can't hear you guys. So then to go back to the Michaela thing, I thought that was the best thing for Ceree because I thought that Michaela was that person that could win that final three challenge and potentially undo Micronesia and take Ceree to the end. But I just feel like I'm not hearing Michaela talk about Ceree.
Nope, not at all, which is interesting.
Yeah,
because they had
but you're not hearing about who Michaela wants to take to the end really like all that often anyway.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. Let's touch on a little bit about the legacy advantage. The legacy advantage was a big part. It was in Millennials versus Gen X.
Yeah. Was your mind blown when Ken
came
I'll
tell
up?
You when my mind's blown. Yeah. It's every time he reenacts his voice, I have to go back to therapy. I think of being out there
apparently
next to the fire.
Someone still has a problem with me.
But that's like
the legacy advantage was a dud on my season.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember we're all sitting there, and all of a sudden he'd get up and do his long stroll over the, put his knee up, took it out of his boot, which I don't know if they showed. Jeff, I have a legacy advantage, and we're like, what in the hell's going on now? It's like, it was just crazy. So, but it really didn't. He wasn't in jeopardy that night, and it really kind of fell flat. It didn't do, I think, what maybe CBS and what Jeff wanted it to do. You
know? But that was like the first time, right, that an advantage had been played that
was
nobody
one, yeah.
knew about, right? Yeah. And didn't it kind of like blow your mind? Like, oh my God, who knows what else is out here?
You started to think to yourself, what does everyone else have?
Like,
like, I missed this too? Yeah. What the hell else did I miss?
Yeah.
But, you know, because it didn't do anything, it was like, whew, you know, because, you know, I think it was day 36 for us. At day 36, you know, that can be a crushing blow when somebody walks up with something like that, you know, when you're playing hard. So, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Brett, Shireen, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Give a hand for these guys.
Can I just say, look at the turnout here, Rob. Is this amazing?
Great turnout.
Woo!
This is the biggest crowd we've had yet for one of these shows. All right, so
I'm stealing a pen.
All right, he's stealing a pen. He's stealing a pen. All right, let's bring up Josh Wigler.
Woo!
Here he is, everybody.
Shireen just spanked my butt.
Hello? Josh Wigler in Hello. The flesh on a Know It Alls.
Oh. Hi. Steven, is this awkward for you? It's awkward for me.
This is the first time we've
it's
all
a little
been,
uncomfortable.
On a stage,
yeah.
Okay. So, Josh, could you speak to what Shireen was referring to? Was there actually something that they were trying to do this season?
No, I think you know to think about it historically. I mean, Game Changers is filming 2 weeks after the Ko Rong finale airs, and not to open that door again. We've been down that road before, but I think that there was a sense that. Did the right person win? And we're not getting into that debate, but I think that there was a question about it, and I think it's like, do we need to fix the jury situation? I don't know what the answer to that question was, but I do know that it was on the mind of people of like, what should we do? Is there something to be done? I'm of the mind, I think, Stephen, you said it pretty eloquently, of like, you vote how you're going to vote. Like, you win Survivor by the way that you win Survivor, and the jury gets to vote for the winner however they see it fit. I don't think the jury system is broken, so hopefully there's not too much that's getting, you know, tinkered with it.
But was that just a talking point, or were they actually going to do something?
I don't know. I have no idea where they landed. I know it was at least a conversation of, like, is there something that needs to be done?
Okay.
I do think the jury system is broken, though.
Yeah. All right. So Josh and I normally talk about the story and the characters on the podcast, and this weekend is busy with traveling. We're not going to get a chance to record Wiggle Room.
This is our Wiggle Room right
now. This is it. You're seeing.
You are in the Wiggle Room right now. It's a very big room.
Getting a two for one. All right. Yeah. So Josh, the story of Ciara Dawn Thomas.
Well, first of all, to paraphrase a great Survivor player, Ciara Dawn. It's been real.
It's happening.
It happened. You know, I think you're right. I mean, I think there were a few question marks on this cast this season for a season called Game Changers. I don't know that Ciara is like the first person you think of getting that call necessarily.
She also wasn't, right?
She probably no. I think she was actually literally the last person to get the call.
But she was fine.
But she was fine. She was totally fine.
She was totally fine. She didn't win.
You know, she didn't win. She goes deep into the game. The hammock stuff was fun. Like, I think that's fun TV at the very least. You know, she's part of a dominant alliance for a while. I think that it's always enjoyable when you see a dominant alliance crumble, as long as it's not filled with your favorite people. And this maybe wasn't filled with your favorite people. Yeah. And Ciara has some power right now, so we're happy about that. But I don't think that she took anything away from the season. I think that, you know, I think that she deserves a lot of credit for that vote against Malcolm. She's the one who really wanted to go against Malcolm. Ty is the guy who does supply the idol able to make it happen. But he's like kind of like on the edge of saying something, and Sierra's the one who like pulls that tooth out. It's like, wait, Ty's going to tell us something really cool. Let's make sure that we get that out there. I thought Sierra played totally fine. I think that Shireen brought up a good point about, you know, maybe with the people that she didn't really want to work with, like she didn't try super hard, maybe that would be a note for the inevitable third time that Sierra Dante.
Oh, put it out in the universe.
Yeah, the alternate yeah, universe bell. Do you have that bell with you?
No? Yeah. Okay. And then the story of Officer Sarah again takes another turn with the ultimate steal of the Legacy Advantage.
Yeah, I mean, she's really going, you know, full criminal. She's Breaking Bad. And it was really kind
of... She is like a Heisenberg type character now. She's
just call like up AJ Mass. Yeah. I think that that's a decent pick. You know, she really has gleaned a lot from the Tony style of play. She's won a Tony here. You know, she definitely, and you know, she claims that that was kind of the way that she was planning on playing her first time anyway, just really never got a chance to flex those muscles. Believe that as you will or don't. But she certainly, you know, she says in that first episode, I'm a cop who's going to play like a criminal, and she's held true to her word. This week was really impressive. Like, I do think that there's, you know, it's worth wondering, like, is she burning too many bridges? Like, at a certain point, like, can you win these votes back if you do make it to the end? Like, there will be talk about this. Like, if she keeps going forward and people who were involved in that vote against Sierra, like, eventually go, oh, yeah, Sarah totally voted for you and you completely just gave that thing away to, like, someone who is, like, really key in your blind side. So that's a question. I think it's a really important question, but it's compelling TV for right now, at the very least.
Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you. Thanks, Stephen.
And the story of the Legacy Advantage?
I don't know. I mean, now it's active, and I think...
Now I kind of like it.
You know...
No, you do not.
Well, I do. Now
well,
I'm into
you
it.
You liked it tonight, but you don't want to see it again.
I am...
I it'd be fun if Sarah got voted out next and somebody like Michaela wanted it. Like, it's like, everybody's like killing each other to get the Legacy Advantage.
But I think what's crazy about it, too, is like, when she talks to Michaela and says there's a Legacy Advantage in the game, does she say, like... And then you can will it to somebody else.
She didn't.
She
say
does
that.
The right thing. Yeah. So now that Legacy Advantage remains in the game. But as far as the people that she convinced to vote Sierra,
she should have called it a different name.
Yeah,
she could have called it like
she's got an idol.
The you lose it if you get voted off advantage.
So it's still out there, and nobody knows but Sarah. So that's impressive. That's good on Sarah. Advantage Geddon is looming. You know, that's scary. That should have some deep
impact. Hashtag Advantage Geddon. That's coming. That's coming.
Yeah, I think so.
Josh, do you think we're getting two boots next week? The finale is 2 weeks from tonight, believe it or not.
I mean, man, I mean, I kind of hope so. Like, a final seven in the finale is a lot.
Too much. Yeah.
That's too much. I think, you know, there's even the argument is, like, a final six in the finale too much? I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, are you in...
Well, we've had final six in the finale for a while.
For a few years
and
now.
It's been fine.
And I mean, I think that it tends to be action-packed, but I know that people are divided on it, where it's like, that's a lot to track. I do think, like, going into a final episode, it's, like, really tough to predict. Like, there's so many votes that have to happen that for you to like really predict how it's going to go, like you really got to be clairvoyant. So I think with a seven in the finale, that's way too much. So I guess it's got to be a double boot.
Yeah, last season...
Unless someone just, like, quits.
Last season, Will and Sunday went out in a double boot.
Right.
Yeah, it's possible that we have some sort of a quit or a medevac possibility. They didn't mention anything in the commercial about that.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to start getting to some of your questions. If you didn't already, tweet them in hashtag RHAP. And does anybody have any live question they want to ask? Okay. Will, am I going to regret this? Am I going to regret it? Okay, come on up real quick. real quick questions. Don't ask a question that's longer than 20 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, all right, here, come on over here. Will from America, everybody.
What's up?
Okay.
What's going on? I'm drinking Legal Leak here. It's so cool.
Yes.
All right.
Nice.
So I just wanted... Yeah. Hey.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know, what do you guys think about the loved ones? I think you talked about it in Millennials versus Gen X, but like, which of them would you want to see back on a Blood Water season?
Okay.
Mark! Yeah, you know, normally I reserve this comment for the chicken, but Mark the human, damn.
Damn.
I mean,
damn.
Yo, damn. What up?
That was a standout. Are Brad and Monica already off the table for Blood Water 3?
I don't know. Why not?
You know,
we still don't want to see him, though, right?
Culpepper did say in the pregame that Survivor approached him and Monica to co-captain a Blood Water season.
Come on.
So I don't know.
That absolutely is not true.
That's what he says. That's what he says.
Josh, do we know, was Troyzan's brother his partner for Blood Water when he was in the mix?
I have no idea.
Peter Brady.
What was his name? He called him Peter. Peter Brady. Brady Troyzan? Is that that's the official
no,
name?
No, he said there's six kids and he's
got
Peter
it.
Brady.
Got it, okay, yeah.
I guess his voice was changing.
Sure.
Old people got my joke.
Troyzan was very Marsha.
Anybody else? We have Suri and Jared.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Woo! It was a quick turn in the room because I think we were all heartbroken that HB didn't come out tonight.
People wanted HB.
Get a three-way. Get HB.
We were
Jared,
very sad about that, but Jared was great.
Yeah,
best Jared out there.
Okay. All right, Will from America, everybody. All right. Who else has a question? Liana, you have a question? Or are you just giving me the Eliza? Oh. All right. No, okay. Oh. All right. Okay, you're second. Okay. Here's Liana Boris.
Hi.
Did I shame you into coming up? Did you not have a question?
I did a thing with Hunted once.
Yes.
So now I'm like famous.
Yes.
Can we talk about Taria? Do we not love her?
Wait, are you just pandering to the audience?
Maybe. No, I have a question. No, I definitely have a question. So if Troyzan wins, do we mutiny? Or what happens?
Like, do we go join another podcast? Like, that's the mutiny?
Hey.
It's over.
Let's not be rash here.
I think we give up, yeah? Or no?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. Yeah. It doesn't seem like Troy is going to win.
Click, click, click.
Yeah, spin and grin.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't have a question.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Liana.
That's great, thank you.
The great Liana Bart. All right. Come on down. All right. And what's your name?
Sam.
Yeah, okay, here's Sam, everybody.
Back to first season, you know, watching all my life.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So my question is about Ty. So going back to the tribal council, if he had played his idol, would that have improved his game?
If he played his idol for Sierra?
For Sierra, yeah.
Well, he voted against Sierra, so I would say no.
He did. Yeah. But if he had played his idol, would that have changed things for him and for his game and that group there?
Do you mean in terms of like him being more of a high-profile player, or do you mean just in terms of his like actual situation in the game?
A situation in the game, and could he have won by that?
Well, but he'd be preserving a power structure that doesn't actually value him, right? So, like, if he saves Sierra, then he's basically giving over more power to the Sierra, Brad, Troyzan group, where he's still at the bottom of that group, and I don't see him going to the finals with that group. So I think for Ty, it makes sense to, like, you know, get rid of those people.
And I also feel like that's already the book on him. It's like, Ty, you never know when he's going to pull out an idol.
For
like,
Sierra,
I don't think that people will necessarily say, you know what, that really changed my opinion on Ty.
Right.
Like, I never would have imagined him just pulling out an idol at a random tribal council and doing something crazy. Yeah. Like, that's like his thing.
The other thing, too, is like right now, I mean, he knows that those people voted against him last week in Troy and Brad and Sierra, so it doesn't really necessarily behoove him to stick with those people. He is comfortable with Michaela as of this episode. There's still the unspoken thing, at least that we're not seeing of him and Aubrey. He might be fairly comfortable with this group right now, can feel like he can bank those two idols for future use, and then feels like he has a decent shot at those final immunities, depending on who's left. Ty might be actually in a really good spot.
Yeah.
So his idols were better with Andrea than going with Sierra and Brad?
I think for now, I think like hanging on to him right now, I'm actually more surprised that like last week when he was being targeted, like, and he says like, this is the first time I feel like I'm in danger ever, and he doesn't play anything.
He didn't
there.
Play, yeah, it's unbelievable.
That was crazy, that was pretty
that
wild.
Takes
but this
a lot
week
of
it
courage.
Makes sense,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sam.
No worries.
Here's a Twitter question from the great Humbie wants to know, is it ever good to win the family reward?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. But it's hard. It's hard to, like, you know, you really want to see your loved one, so it's hard not to do it. And then it's really hard not to do it if you're in that group. Like, did Andrea and Aubrey have a say in not winning that challenge? Like, I think Brad Culpepper would have, like, willed the
Monica!
Gotta see Monica! What's best for Monica?
How lame is it that we didn't get a confessional with Monica saying the word Monica? That sucks. What a wasted opportunity. Steven, you didn't get to be in that spot for like a family visit, but you in Cambodia, you did have to like choose people to go with you on a reward. How tough is that spot
and
to
be in? Chains. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible, you know, because you know that people are going to be pissed at you. And you also know, yeah, there's no win there, right? You know they're going to be pissed, and you know that there are going to be confessionals like, oh God, that was so dumb of Fishback to choose X person instead of Y person. Like, no matter who you pick, even if it's like the best possible pick, there's going to be angry people and there's going to be angry confessionals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
Okay. Yeah, hard. Let's do a couple more questions. Steven, pick.
this gentleman.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What's your name?
My name's Owen.
Owen.
Oh, Owen Craig. Owen Craig. We're getting coffee tomorrow.
Yeah, sweet.
Hi, Josh.
Nice. How's it going, man? It's a weird way to meet.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to meet.
That's how I
coffee.
Always imagined it.
Yes.
So I'm pretty fascinated by Andrea's position in this game and the fact that her name keeps coming up. When someone's in a position like this on Survivor, is there anything they can do?
Wait, you win immunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they could just, like, lock down those votes on the bottom. I mean, Andrea and Suri have, like, this interesting structure where they're, like, two people at the top of this alliance where they're trying to really have each other's back and hopefully get to the end with each other. But they need to keep the Michaelas and the Sarahs and the Aubreys and even, like, Ty now all on board. And that's a lot of, like, balls to keep in the air.
But if someone is agreed on as the threat, like, short of winning out, they're never going to make it all the way, right? At 6 or at 5 or at 4, they're going to get taken out because, like, everyone has sort of agreed tacitly, this is the big threat. If we don't get them out, they win. You know, short of, like, Mike Holloway won out, right? Like, he won every challenge, and otherwise he would have gone home. Is there anyone else who's, like, come up every single tribal like that or multiple tribals in a row and has made it to the end and won? I mean...
David Wright lasted quite a few after he came up.
Yeah, but he lost.
Eventually, they got him.
Like, they keep on shooting for him, and then they eventually take him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colby.
Okay. All right. Owen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's do two more questions. Two more questions. Josh, you pick one.
Let's go over here.
Okay.
Come on down.
All right. All right, come on up. Yes. Hi, what's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny!
What up? Okay, I want to talk about Aubrey.
Okay.
Can we talk about Aubrey?
Sure.
Someone's okay. Got it.
So, this might be a weird theory. Obviously, if we're going to look at the edit, we're talking about people that could win. We're saying Sarah, Suri, maybe Andrea. Ty's getting a little bit of an edit.
Culpepper.
We're not seeing
really little.
I said Brad. Did I not say Brad?
Okay.
Sorry, Steven. I'm sorry. Are we getting a reverse Aubrey where she is getting the Korong edit but reversed where we're not seeing a lot of her and suddenly she wins? Let's just talk about it. Where is Aubrey's path?
Yes, for Aubrey to win, she had to reverse it. She had
so,
to go.
So maybe the editors felt bad about how much they showed her in Koh Rong and she didn't end up winning. So they are going to
because yeah, the editor sat there, you know, we got so much feedback on this Koh Rong edit. Let's do it again.
We can never get enough of it. Come on, let's just kill it.
It would be amazing. Like, I mean, the likelihood is so low, but it would be fantastic if like that was the Aubrey journey of just like, screw you, Michelle Truthers, Aubrey wins.
It'd be incredible.
Do we get a spike the last two episodes where all of a sudden Aubrey just rises from the flames? Come on.
Fan fiction.
Okay.
I'm like a storyteller. That's
beat?
What I do.
then who can Aubrey beat
Michaela?
At this point? Michaela, Troyzan. That's it.
We don't know if she could be Troyzan. I mean, we haven't seen anything of either of them.
What's your deal with Troyzan?
I don't get the sense that the jury is.
Where does this
really
come from? Like,
it's a sadness that we're not seeing more Troyzan. Uh-huh.
But we've
seen a lot of Troyzan.
Like,
Troyzan.
Like the ghost of the pregame alliance that never happened in Cambodia.
No,
is that what
we
this
didn't have a pregame,
is?
But I looked in his eyes and I was like, guys,
all right.
Sure,
but I don't get a sense that the jury is anti-Troyzan by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I get it, like, some some of you guys might not be loving him, but the jury isn't, like, burned up with him.
Yeah, sure. We're just not seeing anything from Troy.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we all still believe. These Aubrey Truthers are still out there.
Aubrey Truthers will not let it go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jenny.
Thank you.
All right. One last. All right. All right. From the man who pushed so hard to get us here, Ron from Toronto. Woo!
Okay. First off, let me ask the audience: who thinks that this should be an annual event in Toronto?
Well,
that went well. I was worried it was going to be like, eh.
Okay, fill in the blank. The winner of Survivor Game Changers will be...
Sarah!
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Sari.
No, you're not. Pandering.
I don't know that I believe it, yeah, but I want pandering. To believe it. So right, I'm just going to put it into existence. I'm visualizing.
That's
we're going to actualize the
That's
vision.
The secret.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Write it down and
look at it before you go to bed.
Same sentiment. I'm going to say Troy's in.
I'll go with Sarah. I'll be Team Sarah. Yeah. There you go. All right. Anybody that comes for Steven's wig on Twitter, I'm with them.
And I am not your wig, Steven.
All right. So after we get out of here tonight, we have put together an event after this. That's going to be at the Office Pub, if you're going to come on out to that. That's at 117 John Street. Should be a fun night.
117 John Street.
There will be adult beverages served.
Yeah. That's funny for a couple of us.
A second floor of the Office Pub, I might add. Okay, yes. Haley has a question.
Will there be treats?
I don't know. We'll see.
This is a BYOT event. B-Y-O-T. Bring your own treats. All right, okay. Haley's set. Visit Haley. She's got the treats.
Yeah. Also, let me also shout out, in addition to Ron, who really got the ball rolling, Angie Kontz, thank you so much for all the work you did. Everything has been fantastic here. We loved being here in Toronto. Steven, any thoughts about Toronto?
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah, it's good.
Even Steven likes it. Let me do a quick shout out. Zach asked me to shout out the amazing Jessica, a different Jessica than Jessica Lee, another amazing Jessica, who helped him be here tonight for this event. It's a good story there. What else? Do we need a hashtag? Steven,
Advantage,
what's the hashtag?
God, you, thank you.
Yeah, I helped you, I guess.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Advantage Geddon is happening. 2 weeks from tonight will be the Survivor finale. Can't believe it. Woo! Where's the time gone?
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for coming out. This was such a fantastic crowd. I got to talk to so many of you guys coming in. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was so happy we were here. Really appreciate it.
Toronto!
Yeah. Thanks so much to Brent LaBelle. John Palin. Shireen, Scooby.
Brett, play us off. Sing us off.
Yeah.
Come on. Come here.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have a goodbye song, a good night?
Oh, Canada.
That's it?
Yeah. That's good. That's
all
good.
Right. The mother country.
All right. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up on the podcast the next couple of days. Of course, exit interview, Adam Klein. We're going to I'll get to the voicemails this weekend. Miles Nye is going to be on the voicemails. That's going to be up on Monday, so look for that. Get your voicemails in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. And also, we got a great chance that I visited the stage of Big Brother Canada earlier today. Had a great interview with Arissa Cox and the executive producer of Big Brother Canada. That's going to be up as well on robhasawebsite.com. Look for that, and lots of Big Brother Canada stuff coming up as well. As well as we'll be back here tomorrow night for our Big Brother Canada eviction recap. If you had a great time tonight, come on back for our Big Brother Canada show. Still, you can buy some tickets online. robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BB Can. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Yeah.
We did it, guys.
Survivor, no way.